It's the Grant Wood Show featuring Kerry Dozer, Mark Cordes, and in the house tonight, Sir Charles, Charles Barkley. And now, here's the whatever, G-Force.
That's so weak. Seriously. Do that again. Didn't that sound like...
We need a governor now.
It sounded like shit.
Do the G what?
Hey. I don't know what that... Oh, is that G-Force?
Something like that.
You could be a governor
G-Spot.
Now.
G-Spot. Huh? I'm almost ready.
You're no spring chicken.
Oh, come on, man.
Listen.
Come on. Have you seen who's going to be our governor?
No. Well, she's getting promoted.
She's getting promoted here. Yeah, that's right.
See, I'm not sure. I don't like that type of ascension.
What else are we supposed to do? Have a special election?
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Well, let me just ask you about... Charles has a hero. He's told me about this guy, and I hadn't heard that much about him. See, I was friends with the governor of Alabama, his home state. He didn't do a damn thing to help this guy out. He got railroaded. But because his favorite guy is a guy named Governor Blagodabovich.
Blagodabovich.
Something. What do you think about that guy? What was your reaction to that? Did that surprise you?
It surprised me he was that blatant.
Mm-hmm.
I think in politics, one thing that's powerful is giving contracts to your friends and things, which, believe it or not, that's going to happen. I think the problem is when you don't share it with everybody else. No,
what
I mean by it, like, if you're the governor, you're going to
give out contracts.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And listen, I'm not an idiot. You're going to give out things to your friends. My problem is, like, if you don't help other groups. Like in Alabama, I've been fighting with them there. They give less than 2%. This is the mayor of Birmingham. He's a black guy. He's been there for 28 years. But they give less than 2% of contracts to minorities. Mm. And I'm like, first of all, how are black people going to be successful if you don't give them any contract? I'm not saying do anything illegal either. Right. I got no problem with you giving contracts to friends. I think that's the way politics work. But I think you have an obligation to share the wealth. But this guy's selling Senate seats and things like that. That just makes you a scumbag.
He's a scumbag.
He's a total scumbag with bad hair.
Yeah, what's with the hair, by the way, also?
It's the worst.
If you look like that.
Take away from your face when you look like that.
Well,
that's a good point.
What's under the bangs? It could be like something really weird.
Can't wear
something
bangs.
Satanic.
A man can't wear bangs.
Well, you two can't, and I'm pretty much there. Put that hat back on, by the way. Put that hat back on here. Mark's got a crazy hat here, dude.
You know, I just left a great movie. Milk?
Did you go see Milk?
Did you see it?
You didn't go see Milk.
I went and saw Milk today.
Did you?
It was fantastic.
Did you like it?
I loved
it. Let me tell you what happened to me this weekend. Okay? I went downtown, the AMC Theater. They have a special couple of select theaters out of the 24. I didn't know that. So I pay my money, and I wanted to go see that. Well, in that theater, they don't give you no warning. It's in Spanish. So, Sunday afternoon, I saw Sean Penn in Leche. That's not good. I mean, that's not what I had in mind. No, I did not want to see that. That wasn't good.
Absolute crap.
No, you don't believe that?
No.
Leche is not that great. It was not in my top 10. You saw Milk?
You really saw Milk.
I saw Milk today, yeah.
What'd you
think? I thought it was fantastic.
He's awesome.
And James Franco, I thought they both did a fantastic job. And Josh Brolin is turning into...
He's great.
A really, really good actor. You know, with the W, with No Country for
No
Old
Country
Man.
For
he's
Old
really,
because
I'm a movie guy. I love going to the movies.
Were you the only straight guy in the theater?
No.
No, it was a bunch of, it was actually a much older crowd. It was an older crowd.
How many black folks were in the audience?
Just two of us.
Yeah.
Just two of us.
You and who?
Yeah.
Just some older guy. But it was really a cool crowd.
That's a great movie.
It was a bunch of older people that was really cool. And I had read a little bit about the story, but I'm glad I actually got an opportunity to see the movie. And Sean Penn was fantastic. Him and James Franco.
Yeah, it was really
and
good.
And Josh Brolin.
You saw it too?
I think we might have been one of the only few straight couples.
No, that's
show.
Not
I think,
gonna
no,
get.
Seriously, it was Saturday night.
Really?
It was late, and I looked around and I thought, all right, this is a
but
very
but that's not
gay
a gay
crowd.
Movie. That's not a gay movie.
We saw it the weekend it came out though, so I think I mean that's a little different because it was kind of a movement to go see it. But it was awesome.
Did you see Brokeback Mountain?
Awesome.
I did. It didn't,
man,
I thought it was didn't do anything for me.
Didn't turn you on at all.
I think that people like make a big deal out of sexy, mm-hmm. but the movie itself didn't do anything for me.
I thought that was pretty good. I liked it. I liked it. I thought Heath Ledger was tremendous.
I tell you what. You know, I was like a little pissed about everybody was talking about Heath Ledger for getting an Oscar this year.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like, I feel bad the young kid died also. I was like, well, he deserves an Oscar, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how y'all know that before the movie came out? And then when I saw the movie, give him his Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Give He's it to him. Win, I mean, too. It was, you know, because I was thinking, like, I know people feel bad because he had passed away, but you can't just assume.
No.
But right. Let me tell you something. When I saw the movie, one of the best acting jobs I've ever seen in my life. He was fantastic.
He's great. See, now we have a movie buff on here. Milk, I want to see. How about Doubt? You have any interest in that?
You know, that's a new one with Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, yeah.
I think I will go see that.
I think it's supposed to be great.
I love going to the movies. It's one of the few places, like, it's one of the few places you can go and people don't bug you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I tell people, I go to the supermarket, people are nice, but they bug you.
Right,
you go to the
right.
dry cleaner, they're nice, but they bug you. Restaurant, anything. But, like, the movie, then we always go in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Like, I love going, like, early afternoon before it gets crowd. And it's always a good older crowd. And it's always, you know, and it's always before all the black people start talking on the cell phone in the middle of the movie. Anytime like after 5.
Now, that's not just some stereotype. That really happens, right? Not just a cell phone. How about back to the screen?
Listen, let me tell you something.
What's that all about?
I have no idea.
Because I grew up Mesa, and nobody in Mesa talks back to the screen.
Were there any black people in Mesa when you were?
Yes, there were. Frank Wright.
Okay.
Frank Wright.
One guy.
Let me tell you about this guy.
Is that the guy they named the streets after?
No, not Frank Lloyd Wright. This is Frank Lloyd wrong. Believe me, this guy was. No, you'll appreciate this. So there's actually a couple, but there's like one black guy at my junior high, right? And I grew my sophomore year. I grew like 6 inches. So, you know, until then I was like 5'6" or, you know, so. He's a smaller guy, and he was a big guy, and he had long sideburns and a little goatee. This is in the eighth grade. He drove a car. I don't know how old Frank was, but he intimidated the hell out of me, right? And we got along. He was great, but he called me professor, okay? And he was always trying to get me to cheat for him, you know, to help him, you know? And I'm like, I don't know. Come on, professor, come on. And fortunately, I was not in most of his classes, but I was in one day. Go to class. I'm in my new class, typing. I'm in typing class with Frank. And I knew it was coming, you know, because he couldn't do a damn thing. And so he's like, hey, professor, you got to help me type this for me.
Can't cheat in typing.
You can't cheat in typing. That was my point. You know, they go. And how am I, you know, you go, and I'm doing mine. I can't do yours.
I'm not giving you mine.
He said, Frank, he goes, professor, I can't believe you're letting me down. You're letting me down. How come? And I'm like.
For the guilt trip, huh?
Yeah, and like he's going to kick my ass, which.
How he didn't know you were dumb?
He knew.
So that's one of the reasons I didn't cheat in school. I didn't know who was smart and who was dumb.
He figured that part out. I was worried about Frank.
I was sitting with all the dumb guys. So I didn't I don't want to cheat on him. I'm just as smart as him. So
now
you got to factor that in when you're cheating.
I got a question for you now. You grew up in a small town, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did you see Colin Powell's comments about the Republican Party? And Sarah Palin and all of that. Did you see that?
I did.
Okay. Now, one of the things he said was Sarah Palin, you know, when she was out there talking about small town values and everything, he said, hey, I grew up in the big city. South Bronx. But, hey, our values were fine, too. And most of America doesn't live in a small town. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's interesting how politics has become so divide and conquer.
Yeah.
Like, really, America's divided by economics now. It's rich people against poor people. And Republicans, Democrats, I think they're both the same. But I love it when these quote-unquote conservatives, like, well, we got American values. I said, well, what do the rest of the people have? Are they just scumbags or something? I'm like, hey, man, I think gay people should be allowed to get married. I'm pro-choice. I think the government owes us three things. Great public school system, economic opportunity, and safe neighborhoods. I don't think they owe us anything else. And, you know,
that's a Barry Goldwater, great Arizona. That was his philosophy, though.
Can I get some philosophy from somebody who's alive?
No. Well, yeah, me, because I agree with that.
You know, remember the first time we met?
Was I?
You Attorney General.
I think you wanted some hoop advice because you wanted to make a good impression in Phoenix.
No, this is the truth. When I first got traded here, one of my friends who was Miss Alabama said, I want you to meet the Attorney General. I said, who is that? His name is Grant Woods.
Miss Alabama.
She was. Her name was Paige Phillips. Oh, yeah. She was Miss Leeds and Miss Alabama. She was first runner-up Miss America.
Yeah.
First runner-up Miss
America. And what was her talent?
She did the dummies.
Ventriloquist.
The ventriloquist. Yeah.
Swear to God.
She did. She was fantastic at it, though.
She was.
But so,
Miss Leeds,
so,
I do the dummies.
I know. She's Miss Alabama, first runner-up Miss America.
Wow.
So she takes me to meet Grant, and I forget who his secretary was. She's like, oh, he's playing basketball. I'm like, what? He said, oh, yeah, he plays basketball quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Quite a bit. So I'm like, I know. So he comes in after, like, and I'm like, oh, my God. And we just started talking about, that's let me know he was cool. I mean, he was going, he plays basketball a lot. I said, not well.
Oh, come on.
Because if he played basketball well, he'd be playing in the NBA. I'm pretty sure he plays better than Attorney General.
Yeah. Oh, I could take all the attorneys
the
general. Yeah, I could
together
take
actually.
Yeah. But there aren't that many. I could still teach this to you, or you know, you pick some of the teams. One of the teams you really like, the two-handed knuckleball fadeaway off the glass from the baseline, because I don't see that much in the NBA.
It's a low percentage shot.
It's a very low percentage shot.
But if you can make that,
hey, listen,
nothing.
No, I don't think you
Jack.
I don't think you can get it off.
Little sick.
But you know who told me to tell you hello?
Oh, who?
Don Siegelman.
Oh, good, good.
I saw him at the Alabama-Auburn game about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And I told him, I said, you know what? And we had just had dinner.
Right.
And I said, you're not going to believe this. Because I said, I was just talking about you. I think we had dinner like the week before. He says, who? I said, Grant Woods. He says, a really good man. I said, you know what? He tells me you got screwed by these idiots in Alabama.
Right.
And he tells me that all the time. And I says, he said, please tell him I said hello.
Good, good.
Good man.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Because for the people who don't know, I mean, what went on there, and they just argued that case last week in front of the Court of Appeals there. But what went on there was Siegelman is a Democrat, okay? And he was the only Democrat who was getting elected to anything in Alabama. And he was elected to everything. He was Secretary of State, he was Attorney General, then he was elected governor. And then he ran for re-election, and they had kind of an odd thing happen. He was announced the winner. I remember I stood up, I stayed up late. I think it was 2000 because the whole Bush-Gore thing was going on. And I was waiting for them to declare Don's race. And it was a dead heat, really. And then late, and it's like 3 a.m. in Alabama, Siegelman declared the winner, the governor. Okay? So then apparently 2 hours later, governor, we have a problem. They woke him up. They say that in one of the rural areas of Alabama, the votes were switched. So instead of you getting this many votes, this guy got it. Instead of you winning, you lost by 3,000 votes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, we'll get the attorney general. He'll look into this. No, he said, no, we're not, because he was a Republican and one of the boys for this other guy, Riley, who's still the governor. Okay, to flash forward, so Siegelman says, well, he goes out. Riley goes in. He goes, well, I'm going to run. I got screwed. I'm going. So they have him indicted. All Republican U.S. attorneys, very partisan. The woman who indicted him, her husband was a big shot in the Alabama Republican Party. She didn't declare a problem there. He had worked on the campaigns against Siegelman. So they indict him. Black judge, by the way, is the judge. And so you can imagine the former governor and the guy who's maybe the next governor again, because he's running, is on trial. Huge deal, right? Huge. Cameras everywhere. They give the opening arguments, both sides. Well, no, the prosecutor. Prosecutor gives his opening argument. The defense is getting ready to stand up. The judge says, I don't see counsel in chambers. They go back into chambers. He goes, is that all you got? The guy goes, what? He goes, is that all you got? He goes, yeah. He goes, this case is dismissed. Dismiss the case. Right after opening argument, which I've never seen, okay? You think that would be the end of it, right? He could go off, we'd have an election. No, that's not the end of it. They get the other U.S. attorney. They have two in Alabama and divided by North and South. They get the other one. They indict him on some trumped-up charges and have a fiasco of a trial, and he gets convicted. And they go to sentencing, and the judge orders him taken into custody right then, put in handcuffs and in leg irons, like he's a maniac or something, and led away in front of his family and friends, and 6 years in prison. Wow. And the Court of Appeals, so, you know, we did, all the AGs, we thought it was a big fiasco, and so we got involved and filed some stuff, and it's very unusual, but the Court of Appeals let him out, pending appeal. Overruled the judge, let him out. So now he's out.
Yep.
Well, it was argued in front of the Court of Appeals last week. We'll see.
Welcome
I don't know about
my,
the argument.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, wow. So now that's the place you want to be governor of.
You know,
that's
you
a little shaky.
Well, you got,
you don't want to walk into that.
Well, you can't just sit back and let it go forever.
You could.
Yeah, how long are you going to sit back?
Well, you know, I can't run to 2014, but I just, I think when you're successful, you have an obligation to not let, just like enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
You have
right.
an obligation not to, that's like the thing at Auburn with the black coach that I said today. You know, I said, listen, I understand having a black coach in Alabama is a big deal, but you can't tell me that one guy who the program had won 10 games in 10 years, he's won 17 games in 2 years that he's been there, and then the guy you hired is on a 10-game losing streak. He is 5-19. You can't tell me this guy has a better resume. Now, if you had hired somebody else, that would be a totally different situation. But you can't tell me
right.
a guy who these resumes, you pick that guy. I mean, that doesn't wash with me.
You think the guy they hired, what's his name?
Gene Chizik.
Okay, and he came from Iowa State?
Iowa State.
Okay, but he used to be at Auburn.
Yes.
Okay.
Defensive.
And he was a good
right?
he was a good coach at Auburn.
Yes. He had a good year.
Okay. So one of the things they're saying, isn't it, is that no one could win at Iowa State. So you can't blame.
Well, first
that
of all, he didn't go from Auburn to Iowa State.
Okay, where did he
Auburn got undefeated 1 year, and it was because we had three number one draft picks on offense. We had a quarterback, Jason Campbell. We had Ronnie Brown and Cadillac Williams. So to say our defense was mm-hmm. the difference, He went to Texas. And won a national championship. But listen, that was Vince Young winning
right.
the national championship. But he was at Iowa for 2 years. Iowa State, he won 5 games, never won a road game, and he's on a 10-game losing streak.
Never won a road game.
Never won a road game in two
wow.
years. So, listen, just come out. Don't tell me you like this guy's got a better resume.
Okay, but you got another good argument from what I've read. And that is, you were on the search committee for basketball. Tell them about that.
Well, and
how that went down.
You know the thing is
that looked really bad.
The thing that's interesting about Auburn, I gave Auburn $1 million to recruit poor students, so it's a very special place.
Wow.
For me.
Is mm-hmm. Auburn accredited? It is, isn't it?
I wouldn't know that. Hey, I wouldn't know that.
It didn't matter.
You know, yeah, it didn't matter.
It didn't matter
to me.
I didn't think so.
It mattered to people who want to get a real job.
Right, right.
You know, so I gave Auburn $1 million. I thought it was a fantastic place. And this is...
Is that a pledge, or did you actually give them the money?
It's done.
It's done?
Yep.
Wow.
So it's
impressive.
A very special place.
So I make those pledges, but then, I just kind of hope they forget.
Actually...
Well, they forget about it.
They don't forget $1 million. They don't forget $1 million. So, things been great for
right.
20 years or more. So about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they asked me to be on the selection committee to elect for the new coach. I said, well, that's really awesome, but I'll only do it if y'all are ready to hire a black coach. Because what happened was Alabama had just went through the thing with Sylvester Croom, and they came down to Sylvester Croom and Mike Shula. And let me tell you something. The resume between Mike Shula and Sylvester Croom are a joke. Sylvester Croom should have got the job. So I'd already been paying close attention to it because Alabama's really never had a black coach at Alabama Auburn in any sport. So I said, okay. I called the governor. He was on the board of trustees. I said, listen.
Is this Siegelman?
No, this is Riley.
Riley, okay.
I said,
so this is 3 or 4 years ago. Okay.
I think this is year 5 now.
Okay.
I said, listen, I would like to do this because Auburn's a great place, but only if y'all are ready to hire a black coach. Please don't waste my time. He says, yes, 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 yes. So I said, okay, we go. And I come up with 3 candidates, Mike Davis, Mike Anderson, and Jeff Capel, all who, one, been to the NCAA championship game, And the year we interviewed these two guys, they both made it to the Sweet 16. They both wanted the job. So they said, well, we're not going to hire Mike Davis because he went to Alabama, which is our arch rival. I said, clearly I understand that. Mm-hmm. So then Mike Anderson at UAB, he says, I want the job. I says, okay, so we call. And they're like, I says, Mike Anderson is with me. He wants the job. Just offer it to him. He says, well, he's got to come for a visit. And Mike says, I can't come for a visit because we're in the same state. Mm-hmm. If I make a visit
and I don't get the job,
yeah,
I'm going to look like an idiot here.
Right.
And he says, just offer me the job right now. I'll take it right now. So they said, no, we're going to work on it and we'll get back to you. And I says, wow, they're not going to hire a black coach. So I called the USA Today like I did today. I called ESPN like I did today.
Right.
I just put a little thing in there about Auburn.
But who did they hire as a basketball coach?
Jeff Lebo.
And how'd he do?
He is 17-75.
Come on, is he really?
Seriously.
Yeah, for real. We haven't made like the NIT.
Unbelievable.
ASU makes the NIT.
Hey, I know.
I know.
ASU's they got a top 20 team now.
We are.
We've won like 15, 20 games in 4 years.
Wow.
So now, with that background, you're saying. I went back and said, just put this little thing in the paper, not being a jackass or anything. Just say, I think it's time Auburn hire a black coach.
Yeah.
They kicked me off the committee the next day. So clearly.
Call you to kick you off?
No. Just didn't call me anymore.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Didn't call me anymore. So I'm going to take that as I'm off the committee.
Yeah.
If they stop.
Four years.
They call me every day while we're looking for a coach for the first week. When I go public with the black thing, they don't call me anymore. So I'm going to take that as a kick in the ass.
So what are they going to do? They've already hired this guy, though, right?
No, they already hired this guy. But I'm saying they hired Jeff. So out of my three candidates, they didn't pick him out. They pick a guy, the only one who had never even been to the NCAA tournament, and still haven't been, I might add. So, I came out last week and said, you know, it's time for Auburn to do the right thing, hire Turner Gill.
Yeah.
And I went on my show, I went on the radio. I said, it's time for somebody in here to have the balls to hire a black coach.
Right.
They brought him down for an interview and everything. First of all, he called me and asked me about the job. He says, now, should I take this interview? I said, you know, Turner, I don't know if it's a token interview or not. I'm hoping that they hire you, what you've done. It's pretty amazing. He says, okay. He went down and things went well.
Didn't he ask you about what it'd be like?
He asked.
In Alabama, how much prejudice is still there?
Well, he said to me, my wife is white.
Right.
And I said, mine too.
Mm-hmm. Does he have, your wife is very demure and doesn't. You know, very shy.
We just lump her in the white category. We don't have, like, different phrases. You know.
Okay, she's white.
No, he was concerned that his wife was white. He has a teenage daughter who was going to be going to high school during this time. I says, you know what? Racism always going to exist. But that's no reason for you not to ever take a big-time job.
Right.
And we talked, like I say, I reached out to him, and we talked, and I said, hey, man, I'm praying you get the job. And then all of a sudden, they announced they hired a guy who's on a 10-game losing streak. And
I saw the video of the AD getting off the plane.
Oh, they got the plane. All the Auburn fans met him at the airport and booed him.
Fantastic.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, they were all booing.
Signs.
They did.
Signs, the whole bit.
All the Auburn students.
They were going wild.
They went wild. They met the plane at the airport. Yeah. Had signs and everything. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Well, now is it the president of the university, or are they beholden to the alums that they feel like the alums would?
You know what?
The alums are so powerful.
But you know what? They shouldn't be beholden to anybody.
I agree.
I mean, I can't believe in 2008, almost 2009, like. We can't just hire the best candidate.
Right.
Absolutely.
Especially compared to a guy. Like, anybody in their right mind can say, wow, this guy just won the championship on a program that then this guy's lost 10 games in a row. You can't justify that to anybody. And like I say, if they call me and say, hey, you know what, Charles? We just can't hire a black guy here. That'd be different.
Yeah, be honest about it.
Yeah, instead of saying, hey, man, the resumes are similar. They're like, similar?
Yeah, what?
One guy's on a 10-game losing streak.
Did you guys see this football game that went on at Phoenix College? Because this is a classic. Hey, fill her up. He needs more water.
You know, no. Water makes the body.
Yeah, it does. That's
me
what
too.
I. That's what I we like to do. We all need that. Now, I don't. Now, normally, I don't follow Phoenix College football that close, but this is a classic story. This is like last week. The Valley of the Sun Bowl is like a big deal in the community college world, right? I think it's like the second biggest bowl game or something. Okay, so they're playing. I wrote it down. Harper College, the number four school in the country, Phoenix College is playing them. Okay, right here in Phoenix, it's they are ahead. Phoenix College. Almost the end of the third quarter is ahead 36. They score to go ahead 36-6. So, I mean, yeah, this is fantastic, right? End of your season. You're winning the big bowl game. Fans are going crazy. It's 36-6. They go for two. The other coach is just pissed. He's
nuts.
Like, you ass. You know, he goes nuts, right?
Yeah.
And the other players are now pissed. And they make it. It's 38-6. Guy's throwing his clipboard. They're going wild, right? Guess what happened? Harper College came back and scored 33 points in the fourth quarter and beat them 39-38.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's fantastic. Awesome. I know. And they had like a riot out there. They called the cops. People from the stands on the Phoenix side were going to the coach, you asshole. You know, that never would have happened if you wouldn't have gone for two.
You know what?
Got them fired up.
He got them fired up.
They were dead. But to be down 38-6.
Yeah, but they would have quit if he had just.
They would have quit. I know. Just go 37-6.
Yeah,
is that great?
That's fantastic.
That's why, you know, we have a saying in sports: hey, they're just chilling. Don't do anything to piss them off.
Exactly.
You know, when those players, when you piss off the coach and the players, like anything can happen. That's why, you're like, hey, if they just gonna coach us, hey, just joke around with them and play with them.
Right. 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 But I wouldn't have even thought that could happen, though. You could score 33 points in the fourth quarter.
Remember the after you play, Houston Oilers against the Buffalo Bills? The
That was recently, wasn't it? A couple years ago? Or?
No.
Someone came back.
It feels
huge.
Like yesterday.
It feels like
right.
Yesterday.
Right.
Yeah. When you were young.
way back then?
Yeah, way back then.
Oh, jeez.
When I was skinny.
Yeah, yeah.
When you were young and I was skinny.
Okay. You're pretty... You're pretty smart.
You're actually looking. I was going to say something, but I thought maybe you'd think I was full of it.
No.
Well, just too late for that. Well, thank you. You know, I've been working hard. I lost about 40 pounds because I was so fat.
You were so fat that.
That? How fat were you?
He sat on a rainbow and made Skittles. No? Okay.
The doctor told me I was like a hamburger away from having diabetes.
Ooh.
Hey, can I have my water? Damn.
Yeah, what the hell? Wow. Do you need to switch
cameras?
Driving
Miss Daisy?
Okay, switch. Driving Miss Daisy. don't ask to go to the bathroom.
Right, move,
he's moving the camera over here.
Yeah, that's messed up. 10-game losing streak.
Oh, no.
Ooh, 10-game
losing streak.
Off,
never won a road game in 2 years.
How do you do that announcement with a straight face?
I know.
Wait,
Clay, The Auburn fans are meeting us at the airport booing.
Yeah, that's not good.
I saw that today. I was on the field.
It was great. Right? I loved it. And one guy was really reaming him.
We wanted to get the fans to turn out. So
yeah, they did. They turned out.
The best turnout we've had in a couple of years.
Rob, can I steal a pail?
Yeah, I need to steal a Pacifico.
It's the same way Rod Higgins made the announcement that he gifted the Suns the salvage of their season.
Hey, what's going on here? How come they're blowing it again?
Yeah, we're getting on it.
Well, it's D like that.
All right, it's plenty warm in here now.
Let's give him. Oh, yeah.
At least one thing that Tony got. Neither one of his teams can play defense.
Yeah,
they're consistent.
Right.
Hey, how's Marty doing, man?
Yeah, he likes it.
Well, he's going to be the coach fucking soon.
Well, this deal just probably prevented that from happening.
Shit, they still ain't very good.
How does he like working for a living?
He doesn't like working for a living.
I bet he doesn't. You see him around the neighborhood at all the
birthday parties. He's better about that.
He is.
He's
better about having to work. What do you think would happen, though?
He showed up for TV.
Grant, you got to understand something about our lives.
It's not bad, I guess.
No, our lives are great, but, like, we never had, like, a real job.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like, that's like sometimes when I'm shooting a commercial, like, after about 3 or 4 hours, my fucking brain is fried.
Right.
It's like... Like, the most you're ever going to work, like, in a real day, is probably 2-3 hours.
To go over there,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. So, Marlon's never had a real job. He's like me. Sometime when I'm shooting a commercial, I'll be late.
Oh, this is
rough. We've been here for, like, 3 hours. How long would fucking longer?
You think about Grant. How many hours a week do you work?
I don't know. But when I'm in trial, it's, like, insane.
That's crazy shit. Yeah.
It's crazy. Because you're in trial all day, and then all night, you got to work. And the last thing you want to do is go back in that courtroom, you know. it's like nightmare, but you got to go back. So,
no, Marley used to be in the neighborhood at all the kids' birthday parties with all the little kids, hanging
dude,
out in the afternoon, running in with the AJs. Don't see him at all anymore. I'm like, he's got to be
pissed. Isn't he a good dude?
He's mm-hmm. the best. Always a good time.
You guys can just go, and then I'll just start rolling.
Yeah, you start rolling whenever you want to. Is he ready?
I'm just going to roll until I'm out of
pace. Steve, we ready?
No, it's fine. It's absolutely fine.
We ready? Oh, we are? Okay, good.
You know
good.
What?
Keep going.
You should be.
Okay, yeah, we
this
don't have to worry about
very,
that.
Very, very good.
This is good shit.
I have a theory about you guys, though. You want to hear my theory?
Who are
I'm
guys?
Dead serious.
Them
no,
guys
you.
What?
You guys like you, Marley, all you guys. And
it ain't no theory?
No, this is my theory. My theory is if you believe in reincarnation.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh,
in your in your past life, you were a nun. That's what I say. You were like Mother Teresa. Yeah, and this is your reward.
That's your theory?
Yeah, this is your reward because, yeah, you have got the life. You don't have to do shit. And if you show up, like if I show up, people go like, oh, well, he's here, and that's it. But if you show up, you have made everybody's day, everybody's psyched.
Aww.
And
the only problem with that is, now, is there another life for him after this?
Well, so, mm-hmm. So the next guy going to get fucked?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so what happens to his next life?
No, he's peaking right now. This is it.
This is it.
But it ain't.
But the next guy.
This is pretty
since
good.
Since I had it so good, the next
pedophile.
Guy just totally fucked, didn't he?
Pedophile.
No, he's probably.
Hey, what?
Pedophile.
No. He's going to be like a cat or a dog or something. No, he's going to have to work his way up again. You have peaked out totally. Because
well,
this isn't bad.
Can you max out? Can you max out any better than you?
That's oh, there's a couple people better than me, but I'm
not many.
Hef.
Oh, not many.
Hef.
Tiger, Michael.
Rose. Tiger.
No.
Oh.
That's
no.
a smooth dude right there.
So what? That's
just
not
to be
better.
Able to,
that's
as
not
I tell him, just to be able to have sex with your wife and look at the other twin, that's like.
Could you say that again?
And the other twin is, oof.
Good?
Oh, impressive.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty.
She was a nanny, right?
No, his wife was the nanny.
His wife was a nanny?
The other one's a swimsuit model.
Oh, the Swedish one. The
that's
Swedish
not
one.
Right.
Swedish one? You mean Swedish both of them?
No, the Swedish guy, the Swedish golfer, she
oh,
nanny.
Oh, Ponovic.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, Jesper.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, when are we going to do this Woody, Steve? We have to do this really fast. Yeah. Hmm?
You want to do it toward the end of the show?
No, let's just do it now and get over with, because we just have to have it, right?
All
right. Okay, and we have no sound effects, Charles. Charles, you know what a Woody is?
No.
Okay, well,
I know what one is, but
I'll explain a little
Woody,
bit.
A Woody goes to like the, you want to explain it? Like the goof? Of
the biggest goofball of the week.
Biggest
you know,
goofball of the week. And Steve, and we do have this part sponsored, so Steve, you want to read it, and then we'll do it.
Yes, and this week's Woody is sponsored by Viagra. Want some afternoon wood? Download the Grant Woods Show at grantwoods.com or talk to your doctor about Viagra.
Very good. Okay. There's a lot of nominees. Okay. We could have had the governor of Illinois.
He's right at the top of the food chain.
We could have had the athletic director of Auburn. And we didn't have any of those. The winner of this week's Woody is Carolyn Johnson from Anderson, California, KFC. Did you see
no.
about her? Oh, well, let me tell you about her. Carolyn was fired this week after posting photos on MySpace of her taking a bath at her workplace in the deep sink at the Kentucky Fried Chicken that they used to wash dishes.
They fired her for that?
They fired her. I don't know
she
why.
She should have got a promotion.
I don't know why.
She took her friends with her.
She took the photos and put them up on MySpace, and they didn't like it. And if you saw the photos,
Y'all got computers around here?
We got to pull it. No, you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
She filled
you
up the sink.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She filled
she
up the sink.
She and her girlfriend filled up. We're a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, that to me, that's just some fun. I wouldn't have fired a person for that.
You got to fire them for that.
Why?
Because that's people are going to hear about it. They're going to go, I don't want any of that. I mean, that chicken's greasy enough. You know, do you think without?
If you have an erection lasting longer than 4 hours, please check out the website and the photos
and
of Carolyn Johnson,
no,
and
like,
that'll do it.
No, that's like
that will cure
that's
that 4 hour erection.
They say, well, no, it says if your erection lasts longer than 4 hours, call your doctor.
Yeah, what's that all
of
about?
Of course, you're gonna call him to get some more. Like you're not going.
Not me.
Hey, doc, you got any more?
Hey, what is the deal on that? By the way, of the Cialis at the end of it. So the guy apparently has got the stuff going for him, right? So it's going to happen for him. And then they're in separate bathtubs, like outdoors. I don't get that. What does that mean?
Only you. See, do you two philosophical?
No, after.
After?
I think that's
after. After sex, you go in a bathtub?
I need a bath outside.
I do. That water's got to be cold.
You know,
so
you
good.
Probably can't get in a big bathtub. We're thinking way too much.
Yeah, we are.
But you probably, like, you just want to relax.
I don't know. I didn't get that. But see, that's subtle. And remember when Viagra first came out, those commercials, they didn't quite know how to say
right.
it. They were trying to be real subtle. And so they had the guy throwing the football through the tire.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? Like, okay. Oh, I get it. It's some of this. I get it now.
I didn't get that.
That's what that was. They didn't want to say what it was
no,
for.
Oh, no. I missed it.
So the football through the tire, and then it just went crazy.
I thought he was just being a stud. I thought he was like, hey, look what I can do.
No, it was like, one of those.
Threading the needle.
Yeah.
Got it.
Now they're doing the Elvis Viva Viagra.
Oh, that's horrible.
That's horrible.
That is weak. Okay. I have a Madonna question for Charles here. Yes, I don't know if you saw this, but just today it happened that she settled her divorce proceedings, and she is paying her now ex-husband, Guy Ritchie, $76 million.
Wow.
That's good work if you can
settlement.
Get it.
Yeah, that's not bad. Why does he get $76 million?
And I just don't get that. You know what's funny?
That's crazy.
She gets $76 million. Paul McCartney gave up how much?
Oh, I got Paul McCartney here.
Half the Beatles. God.
No, he only gave up.
No, it's the second biggest in history.
No, because Michael Jordan, he gave up like.
No, in Britain. In Britain, yeah.
But I want to know who represented these guys and not Michael.
Yeah.
Because Michael gave up like $150 million.
Yeah, he got screwed. You need a better lawyer. You didn't call me.
I remember calling him. I'm like, bro, you're giving up more than Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
See, McCartney, though, didn't have kids with. Heather.
Yes, she did. They got a baby.
Oh, they do?
Do they?
Yeah.
No.
They do have a baby.
Really? No.
I'm guaranteeing you they got
I
a baby.
I think they have a baby.
They do have Michael's a baby.
I want to say it's
weren't
a girl.
You,
three?
Weren't you telling me the story of Paul McCartney, and what's her name, Heather?
Heather Mills.
Heather Mills. They met at IHOP, right? Weren't you telling me that? No, that wasn't right. That's not right.
They met on MySpace.
Oh, they did? No. It wasn't IHOP? I didn't get that one.
They met at the Phoenix Open.
But seriously. No.
Bird's Nest.
I think, should we say that? Because we had an agreement on that. I think Carrie wouldn't agree with us on
that's
that.
Horrible.
I think that she should have been much nicer to Paul McCartney.
Oh my God.
She has one leg. She got a Beatle. I mean, for God's sake.
That's right.
Well, you don't know. She said that he was overbearing and yelling out and screaming out all the time. So you
he might have been
know.
A jerk. That's true.
He doesn't seem like a yeller.
Listen, you don't ever know
he's
how
got those puppy dog eyes. He was the preppy beetle. He was cute.
That doesn't mean he was a preppy beetle in private.
I know.
No, that's right.
Hey, listen, trust me. There's nobody over there going to testify against a beetle.
I know it. It's better than the queen.
Yeah, that's pretty. You know what? You're right.
It's way bigger than the queen.
Hey, this guy, Guy Ritchie, her husband, famous for two movies. One I'd heard of, the other I hadn't. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Was not very good.
No. But what's this? Snatch. Is that a home movie?
No.
That's one that you get in the hotel room.
Is it? I tried to get that one time, yeah.
West Division.
Isn't that a great thing, by the way?
Spectrovision.
Spectrovision.
That's just Spectrovision. That's Spectrovision.
You know, Mark's on the road a lot because Mark's a comedian, you know. And one day he called me. He was so excited. I mean, he was just giddy. And it was the day that he found out that they were no longer putting the titles of the movies on your bill. It was fantastic. Wasn't that a big moment?
Well, yeah, but then they act like it's a big deal, but then the pornos, or the soft porn, is $13.95.
What's in between porn and soft porn? I'm just curious, since you, like, specialize.
Well, soft porn is where you don't actually see the penetration. You just see a lot of, you see a lot from the waist up, you hear a lot of grunting and everything. You just assume they're having sex. They might just be moving heavy
point?
Furniture.
top off. That's like, I'm so old. Remember when they used to have like that little box on the TV? When I played, we had a guy on the team who taught us how to, you just unscrew the box and screw it into the back of the television. You just keep it, you just got to remember to put it back. you just unscrew it, screw that box, screw it into the television somewhere in the back, and you get continuous movies, all of them, like 24/7.
Really?
And who was this?
Wow.
What team was this?
Oh, this is back in the
80s. Not the Suns.
This was
that
back in
no,
the
80s. Jerry, we didn't have those
they
players.
They had changed it to where you had to get it off the TV in the 90s. But in the 80s, it was pretty funny. The guys are like, y'all know how to steal movies? I'm like, what are you talking about? But like I said, you just unscrew it, screw it to your TV, and it would just show, like, you just flick channels and all the moves would be on 24/7.
No, but now, in those days, Yeah, they did have like the soft core stuff, you know, and it wasn't too big a deal. Now I don't care what hotel you go into. Like the Marriott's, they have the Book of Mormon there.
Yeah,
that's very nice,
the
right next to, you know, Snatchville and, you know, Beaver Valley. I mean,
you know, I've never been a big
I haven't seen Swallow the Leader.
It's really good.
Is that good?
The plot is thin, but it's listen, it's well acted.
Yeah. The only porn movie I know of.
You were in a porn movie.
No, I wasn't. It was.
Yes, you were.
I was. I had a small part.
Was that lookalike guy?
I don't know what y'all talking
no,
about.
No, I saw. I
well, wanted, it wasn't me.
No, you were in the movie with Michael Jordan and Bugs Bunny. I thought I was getting that, and I got the $14 I got charged for Face Jam. That it's backed off about
you know,
that.
The best porn movie ever is Devil Does Dallas.
Was that good? It was good
when I was watching it.
Now they're. You just saw the first three minutes.
That was like
though.
The classic.
Yeah, you gotta like that.
I just liked when the porn was porn. Now they've got too many genres.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was in a hotel last week.
Genres?
They had midget porn.
Midgets.
Midget porn.
There is a such thing
That's
as midget
gross.
Porn.
There is.
I tell you what's funny. I was up.
How was it?
Itty bitty gangbang is really
good.
Those are only $7.
No, you know what's really funny? I was like,
Dick Van Dyke's not in that.
Watching
is he?
The
speaking of Viagra,
the porn music awards one night.
Where do you find that?
It was on there, like a Showtime or HBO or something like that. And they're like, and I was just watching the thing, and like, I was like, oh, some awards show. And it says,
oh God,
just like best anal.
Oh,
no, it says best 2-on-1, best girl on guy, 2 girls on 1. And I was sitting there like, they give out awards for that?
Oh, yeah.
These
people were nuns, too.
Dude, this, really. I got to tell you,
if that's your job, come on.
No, I got to tell you something. It was hilarious.
Was it good?
How deep do those categories go?
How deep?
Yeah.
Pretty deep.
Wow.
Oh, no, but it was like they had best 2 girls on. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
Best girl on girl. I mean, I'm just sitting there watching this. I'm like, wow.
For the record, I'm really offended by all that.
That's what it is.
I went to the AVN in Vegas.
It's in Vegas. That's exactly right.
You went?
Adult
video.
My
friend was the host. Yeah. Tommy Slayton.
I can't remember the names. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. They can't show that before 3.
Best newcomer and double penetration.
That's exactly right. It's unbelievable.
I'm sorry.
Some girls getting up there, jumping up, and holding the trophy.
No, it's unbelievable.
What does the trophy look like?
Yeah, it's a giant.
Oh, great.
No, but I
got.
We were watching this. It's called an AVO.
The AVN.
And I'm just sitting there like.
Did you say newcomer?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It is. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Oh, and they got like an Academy Award. Oh, the group. It's like if you win an award, it's like a big deal.
Okay, I got another. I got to ask you a couple more sports questions, though. First, today apparently Barry Bonds is out there saying that he's not going to retire. Or he doesn't want to retire. He wants to keep playing.
Well, they're on blackball him, so he got no chance to go. He done.
He's out.
He's out.
But do you think that's unfair?
I think it's unfair.
Because he's got skills, obviously.
I think Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire. I think all those guys are getting screwed.
Mm-hmm. And tell me why.
Why?
Because they're the only 4 guys getting penalized. Everybody else made a crap load of money because of those guys. And all 4 of those guys, they're like, you guys are not getting in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I said, first of all, everybody know these guys were doing something.
Something was up.
Mm-hmm. But, like, they're the only 4 paying for it. I just have a problem with that. Everybody made money. Baseball had its biggest money makers ever.
Mm-hmm.
They took the salaries to a whole nother level. But I just don't think it's fair that those 4 guys get penalized. They're the only one paying something. They're the guys that are not going to go in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And I just have a problem with that.
And what do you think Bonds, does it matter that Bonds is kind of a jerk?
No, I don't think it matters if athletes are jerked. I don't think they should be jerked.
Mm-hmm.
But if guy's a nice guy, we don't pay him $20 million to be a nice guy. We pay him $20 million to hit as many home runs as possible.
Right, right.
You know, I don't, when guys, you know, like when LeBron called me stupid a couple of weeks ago.
You were right on that one. I was with you on
that
one for sure.
But I'm never going to hold that against him when I'm talking about his basketball ability. You know, I think one of the biggest problems is our country is run by idiots. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Lou Dobbs, and Bill O'Reilly.
And what, tell me about what's wrong with those guys.
Well, two of them are right-wing nut jobs, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. You know, they, like, divide and conquer.
Right. What about Lou Dobbs?
Lou Dobbs blames Johnny every problem in America on illegal immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know. It's unbelievable.
Like, every night for 5 years, he's just, we got to get rid of all these Hispanics. I'm like, first of all, it's a joke to blame them for all the stuff that goes on in America. I says, all them jobs they're shipping overseas, what's the difference? Those jobs are more expensive. At least the Hispanics do the crappy shit that we don't want to do. The blacks and whites don't. But, like, one of the reasons our economy is in the toilet is them shipping all our real jobs overseas. But he don't ever complain about that. But it makes good TV to blame the illegals.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill O'Reilly is one of those. He's not nearly as bad as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. But, like, he wants to give his opinion. If you disagree with it, you suck.
Right. Starts yelling at you and stuff. Yeah, well, do you think we'll get over that? Because, let me give you an example. You know I was for McCain.
Yeah.
Right, because, you know.
Let me just say this. Even though I supported Barack, I got none but admiration and respect for John McCain. First of all, anybody who goes to war, you have to admire and respect that. We talked about it down a minute. Night. I respect John McCain. But what I think the Republican Party has done is the gap, really, America, and I said earlier, the gap, the thing in America that's the biggest problem is rich against poor people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what they've done is...
class more than race.
It is class more than race. And they do a really good job. Like, if you're against the war, you're not supporting the troops.
Mm-hmm.
We got to stop all these gay people from getting married. You know, I'm like, no, we don't. They're not... and we got to get rid of all these illegal immigrants. And you got to be pro against abortion. I'm like, no, you don't. Abortion don't come into play for most people.
Right.
So they do a really good job of dividing and conquering. That's like Proposition 8 in California. I was so disappointed so many black people voted against that.
Majority,
like 80%. As a black person, you should be against any form of discrimination. Mm-hmm. Whether you agree or disagree with the lifestyle, any black person should be against any form of discrimination.
Yeah, because you know what it's all about.
Yeah.
Right. Well, do you think, I mean, I agree with you on the divide and conquer deal. And one of the things that goes on in this country that I just do not understand really is, and it's been going on forever, is the election never ends. Okay. So I remember when Clinton won.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I didn't support Clinton. I supported Bush 1. Okay. And yet, as soon as Clinton won and I got into office, I was in office, I guess. Whatever I could do to help Clinton, I'm all for it, you know, because the election is over. And now more than ever, I would think, with Obama, with all sorts of, I mean, we've never had more problems, it doesn't seem like. The idea that the Republican Party, for example, right now is out there going crazy, running ads in Illinois, running ads around the country, trying to make something out of his connection, even though there apparently isn't one, with the Illinois governor. The point is, the election is over, okay? Mm-hmm. I supported McCain. McCain lost. We got one president at a time.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I want, which I do, why wouldn't I want Barack Obama to be the greatest president of all time? Because if he's the greatest president of all time, that means our country does really well for the next 4 years.
Because these politicians are such scumbags. That's like, I like watching and reading. I think I'm smarter and understand better than most people. Like, Barack is doing a really good job of picking people with different opinions and stuff. He's getting criticized for that.
Right.
Like, if he had picked all his own people, they would have said, oh, he's not changing.
Got too many Clinton people now. Right.
So now he is trying to get enemies and friends just alike. And now they're like, see, this can't work. I'm like, he's not even president yet.
Right.
But it's such a bullshit system that we have in place. Like, they're not even going to give him a chance.
Right.
But I don't think the people are smart enough. I do.
Maybe they are. Maybe they are now, though. Maybe. And see, here's one. Obama has a great opportunity because of his own particular skills. I mean, he comes in with skills like we haven't seen in a long time. His certainly his speaking skills, his intelligence, his demeanor. He's calm. He's cool. Nothing shakes him. He inspires confidence. So, He comes in with that, but he also now comes in with just the bottom falling out of the economy, mm-hmm. at least perceptually. Still, you know, terrorism, big problem, two wars going on. You know, now the president, people are throwing shoes at him.
That was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Oh, my God, best video ever. How quick was he, man?
Oh, Bush was good. He was best thing I've seen.
He just moved a little bit.
But he moved.
Like he was a boxer.
Smile.
Yeah, he did.
He even got a joke. Did you hear what he said?
No.
I was looking at his soul.
Oh, good.
For
him, that was good.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. I really like John McCain, but I think that he got caught up in the political machine.
Sure.
And let me just say this about this. I think both of them are full of it, Republican and Democrat.
They are.
But I think that I got so much faith in Barack. I think he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Now, will he screw up? I have no idea. But I think he's a good guy. And we need to try something different.
Now, let me tell you something. I just thought of the other day that, first, just campaign-wise. Okay, now I spent a lot of time, you know, working for McCain in the past and during this campaign, right? Went to New Hampshire, following around, and, you know, and he did a great job. So this is a criticism, but John McCain himself, I think, you know, it was almost impossible for him to win this race, and, you know, he performed, I think, fine. But you have Obama over here who's running a perfect campaign. I mean, a beautiful campaign. One, he himself is doing great. No flaws, no gaffes, no problems. But more importantly, his campaign itself is so organized. You know, they're using the internet like mm-hmm. nobody's ever used it. Everybody's you know, in lists. They're using it for fundraising. They're using it to turn people out, to turn them out to vote, register to vote, turn them out to vote. Fantastic. So here on one side you have this going on, right, with this phenomenal web-based campaign. The last week of the election, I opened my mail. You probably got it too. Open my mail, and it was a telegram from John McCain. And you open it up, and it's like, we need money. And I, okay, that's fine, except telegram?
I know.
He sent
Please
it
Please send money. Stop.
No, yeah,
Losing
stop.
Losing campaign. Stop.
What is it, the telegram? Fast. Doesn't that just say it all?
Yeah.
One guy is doing all the internet and all that. Now, look, you know, I've never received a telegram in my life. Do you think anyone under the age of 30 even knows what a telegram is?
No.
Yeah, it's like from the movies where they used to say stop.
Stop.
Which I never knew
Losing
why they
campaign.
Said stop.
Stop. Send money now.
Stop. Stop saying my friends. Stop.
Yeah,
I mean, but that just summed it up. One guy's got everything going, the other guy's sending the telegram. It's
when Obama's good. Got an internet message, you get an email that says, "Dear Kerry, I could really use $5. $5 from an American like you can change this campaign and change the world. Sincerely, Barack Obama." You're like, seriously, right. I have $40.
But you right. do know Sarah Palin's hot, am I right?
Yeah.
She didn't do a lot for me.
You didn't think so?
Well,
hot for teacher. She had that thing going, don't you think?
No, she looked good.
In the teacher look. The teacher look.
Five kids. That's it.
Wow, that's good for you.
You factor in the five kids.
Out of fairness.
No.
You got to factor that in. Yeah.
Not in fairness. That's just a fact.
Yeah, it is a fact. Yeah. And she looks good.
That's all I just said.
I agree.
You know what? I give her credit for living in Alaska and looking good because I think you could really let yourself go.
She don't look like that in Alaska. Trust me. I guarantee you she ain't cleaning up like that every day in Alaska.
Wow.
No.
Trip to the salon on her way down to Sedona.
Yeah. She had.
As a comic, I hate that the election's over because it was just such a great. It sounded like a joke. You know, an old guy, a black guy, and a MILF walk into a bar. It was like a setup.
You know, as a guy, you're like, thank God my mom don't look like that.
Oh, man. No
oh,
kidding.
My God.
Oh, yeah. Remember that joke? Don't tell that. It's not so funny when it's your own
mom. I know. I like that joke.
Okay, I want you to tell me. We're almost done here, but that's just for two things. First, let's go to election night.
Okay.
Now, you figured Obama was going to win. Okay, but you didn't know he was going to win.
I wasn't sure.
You're not sure. I mean, anything can happen, right? So when you're watching TV and you see that he won, what was it like? Well, I mean, what emotions went through you? Because it's becoming a reality here.
Well, I'm probably a little bit different from to you guys because, you know, I grew up in Alabama in the 60s.
Right.
I mean, the Klan bombed our church. So I'm like, you know, they became famous. They killed the four little girls. You know, I went to segregated schools. Still segregated to this day in the neighborhoods.
Right.
You know, blacks and whites live on different sides of town, which breaks my heart, but it is the way it is. So when I'm sitting there looking at the election, I was kind of, when he got off to a great start, because I knew it was going to be a momentum thing, I said, wow. And then I almost started crying, to be honest with you. Like I say, you know, when they bombed the church in Birmingham in 63, you got the boycott in Montgomery, you got the Selma massacre. So it's a little bit more personal to me than to anybody, probably. Unless you're from Alabama, you've been like, wow, they bombed the church? I mean, that's as low as you can go to do something to a church.
So when he walks out in Chicago on that, you know, with that huge
I was already three sheets into the wind by then. You know, because like when CNN announced that he had won, I actually almost teared up, almost started crying. And it was just really exciting me. I just like, wow. And it was pretty cool. It, first of all, somebody who I knew.
Right.
You know, like even if John Senator McCain had won, you actually know him. You know, Barack has been at my house. You know, because I met him when he was running for Senate when I was writing my last book.
And what were your impressions of him then when you first met him? Did you think he had it? He had something special?
When I walked out of the room, it's like with him, when you're around him and President Clinton, when you walk out the room, you're like, damn, I'm dumb. You know, and I was with a guy. I was with a guy named Mike Wilbon who, number one, went to Northwestern, been writing for the Washington Post for like 20-some years. So he's been around intelligent people. We spent like 3 hours with Barack. And we walked out of that. We looked at each other like, wow. And like, we didn't know it was going to be that soon. We're like, that guy's going to be something impressive. Because, but it's the same one. I'm around President Clinton. When you're around President Clinton, you're like, ooh, I really am dumb.
I'm like, wow, where's my wife?
That could be happening too. Hey, that could be true too. But like, no.
Yeah, while he's looking at you.
No, you know what happened? Okay, one little thing. We were in the White House for a tobacco thing one time with Clinton, and usually when you're done, the president leaves. But he just hung around. So there was like the Mississippi Attorney General, my buddy Mike Moore, and I were sitting there, standing there talking to President Clinton, right there in the Oval Office, right. And Carrie was back there. She was my press secretary, and she was talking to Mike McCurry, his press secretary, over
back of the room.
Back somewhere. And they walk into the room. They walk into the room. I swear to God, Clinton is talking. We're having a conversation. He sees Carrie back there, and he doesn't say a word, just walks off.
Oh.
And he goes, oh, how are you?
He goes, hi, I'm Bill. I'm like, yeah, hi, no shit. I had you at hello.
He didn't even stop.
Right?
He didn't say, like, hey, I got to go. I got it. He just bird dog right on it, you know. So
unbelievable.
But he does. He's a special guy. He's got the charisma also. I mean, that just, like, it's pretty phenomenal.
I didn't know Barack when I met him, so I wasn't intimidated. But, like, when I was going to interview President Clinton for the book, my heart was jumping because I was like, wow, it's going to be pretty cool. And he was really nice and great. But, man, he is so – like you said, I'd ask him, like, you know, simple question. Like I say, you know, you're from Arkansas. Or I'd say, what about this? He like, well, I was reading this book from, like, 1912. I'm like, really? And I asked him another question. He's like, yeah, I was reading this book from, like, 1935. I'm like, really? I mean, like, every question he would go, like, I said, how many books you read? He said, about 1,000. I mean, he just, like, he says, I'm like, well, then you go back and think. He was a Rhodes Scholar.
And you've read that many.
I drove on the road to get to school. That's the closest I am. I drove down the road to get to school. That's the closest I'm coming to being a Rhodes Scholar.
Have you had these same emotions just being here tonight, you know, on this show?
No, but I will tell you this, what I think about you.
Has it worked out?
No. I'm going to tell you what I do think. Hot chick. I would like to go see him in show sometime. But I will say this when I'm around you. You're a pretty important and well-known guy. It always amazes me how normal you are. Because it's always weird for me being around somebody who's in the limelight. And you know this, some of these fuckers are nuts. Some of these guys or women or whatever.
You know
around,
better than me.
Yeah, I'm
you
like,
get them all.
What a damn whack job.
Right.
And it's always, from the first time we met, I'm like, yeah, we're here to meet the attorney general. Like, oh, he's playing basketball. I'm like, really? Really? And, like, from that point on, but, like, when we go out and we go out a good deal, like, it always amazes me how normal he is. Because I got to tell you something. One thing, like, I don't understand why every person who's in the limelight, like, why can't you be normal?
Exactly.
It ain't like you, I mean, why are you such a whack job?
Yeah.
And some of these let it get to you and you start believing all the stuff you hear about yourself.
But they shouldn't. It's bizarre to me.
Yeah.
They used to, I remember I was AG and I go to a high school football game and just for the fun of it, because it's fun to go to those games, you know? And every time people go, hey, it's really great you're here. I said, oh, really? Why?
Thank you.
Why? You know, it's absolutely nothing. Yeah. I just, you know, walked in, you know? No, that you would come. It's like, everyone's screwed up.
Said,
why wouldn't you be there?
I was like, do my, see, yeah, this not, is your job, and right. Then this is the rest of your life.
Right.
They're not exactly. The fucking same.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not the same. Like, why are you at the supermarket?
But you,
I can't get something.
Yeah, Charles is always though.
Why are you at the dry cleaner?
I don't know. Yeah, why would you
want him to keep them?
I can't believe you'd be at a place like this, a grocery store.
You know, the game only lasts a couple hours, and then I do like normal stuff.
You know what? I've seen Charles many times at Sky Harbor Airport,
mm-hmm.
And what I always love is he tries to blend in.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, the only difference is it's. You know, he's the biggest guy walking around, and everybody's hovering around him. But Charles has always looked. But I got to hand it to you. You always handle it so cool.
Thank absolutely.
You. The sky caps, without a big deal, he's always slipping them a nice tip.
You know why? Those are a lot of former Hoopers.
Richard Dumas.
Hey, you know what's really funny? I really do think that I'm nice to everybody I meet. And it came into play last weekend. I was at the Oscar De La Hoya fight. And
who'd you bet on?
I didn't bet.
I'm well, you don't bet right anymore. That's right. But you would have bet on.
I would have lost.
Oh, really?
Okay, got it. Because I always think a big guy can kick a little guy.
I know.
That's a good rule.
I thought the same thing.
So, you know, the thing that's funny. So, I go out to dinner, and I'm having dinner with the Maloof brothers. And Eva Longoria, who's one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet, her and Mario Lopez are like really good friends. They're like, we're bringing a friend to dinner. I'm like, cool, no problem. They show up. And they got Russell Crowe. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And I said, Eva, don't ever do that again. If you're going to bring a friend. Don't bring Russell Crowe. I said, I'm excited to meet Russell Crowe. And then the thing that was cool, he says, oh, we met before. I'm like, no, we haven't. He's like, oh, yeah, I met you in the 90s. I was a nobody, and you were really nice to me. And it was like, for me, because I do, I try to be nice to every person who comes up to me. He says, we met, I think he's in 1992 we met. I was in Seattle, just getting started. I said hello to you, told you I was a big sports fan. And it was just like, he said, you were really nice. And I'm like, whoa, thank God. Because you hear stories all the time when people become famous later, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I met that guy and he was an asshole to me.
You're right.
Yeah. You know what? Charles just said he'd like to see me do a show sometime. You actually have, and he won't remember this, but remember the whole Courtside Classics that the Suns did?
Yeah.
Well, I entertained at the one after you guys lost to the Bulls in the finals.
Well, I don't remember
and
that.
Charles was so nice.
My life
to
was
me.
Over after this.
And he came up to me and he said, I was sitting at a table over. I was sitting with Joe Klein, one of your buddies.
He was my girlfriend.
And Joe's the best. And he says, Charles says, you're the comedian, right? And I said, yeah. And he goes, can you pick on somebody if I tell you to? And I said, you? Yeah, hell, I'll pick on him. He said, give Oliver Miller a little shit.
Oh, my God.
So I got up.
Oh, perfect.
Where do you start?
Right, where it
and
is.
And I said, man, it's so cool to be here among some of my heroes. These guys, I'll never forget. Charles came up and said this. I'll never forget what Oliver Miller said to me during dinner. He said, you can eat all that? I know Dan's a friend of mine, and Dan and Charles and everybody are howling. And I look over at Oliver Miller's table, and he was pissed.
Nice.
He didn't take that well.
No. And so I kind of made sure I went away from him.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Get over it, Oliver.
Yeah,
Domino's
really.
Closed some restaurants.
He's
he
the person. You know, Oliver was
what happened
funny.
To him?
Just couldn't keep his weight down. Oliver was funny. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't eat around us. And then every morning we go to practice, we'd see like a Domino's pizza box by the door. Like, and then he flunk his weight thing. Mm-hmm. We're like, bro, what do you think? We idiots? You're gaining weight. You're not eating around us. He'd eat like salads on the plane and shit. And then when he flunk his weight, coach is
How did that happen?
Coach, he ate salads last night at dinner.
We
go by his room, and there was a pizza box by the door. Like, bro, who at least hide the damn box. Coach think we letting you eat shit around us. It was hilarious.
Cotton used to say he'd drive by his house, and the garbage can would be full, and then next to it would be like 40 more boxes.
That's like when we play with Richard Dumas.
Oh, man.
Like we'd be leaving practice, and once we get to the highway, if we were behind him, we get like a contact high. We're like, bro, we'd be like, so somebody call and tell him you just can't be driving down the street in a smoky ass car because the shit's coming backwards. And we're like, we joking, like, hey man, the whole team got a buzz because of your ass. Don't be smoke pot at home, man. Don't smoke pot driving down the highway.
That's not good.
No.
No, that's not good.
Oh, my God. It was just smoke coming out the car all the way down the highway. My God. That's when we only had the 50-1, too. We didn't have a 2-on-2 back then. So
everybody was only on one way to
go.
Only
one way to go. Everybody took 51. So I was like, bro, don't you see all the smoke coming out your damn car driving down the highway?
What a lame
brain. I was at the Dallas airport once. And which Van Arsdale is it that works for the Suns?
Dick,
okay. I'm in a lounge, and Dumas is in there drinking in the Dallas airport. And this is during the season. And he's drinking a lot, because I'm in there drinking a lot, too. And he's matching me. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, that's Richard Dumas, and he's hammered. And then I go to get on my plane, and I see Dick Van Arsdale. And he goes, hey, Mark, how you doing? And I go, hey, go down to that lounge down there and see what's going on.
You ratted him out?
Yeah, I ratted him out.
That wasn't right.
Well,
poor guy.
I put the drinks in the mug.
I wanted him to
straighten up.
Yeah.
So we could win some games.
Exactly. He was a stud.
He had
great skill, but he couldn't quit drinking and smoking.
Yeah. It was sad.
It was sad because I've seen, man, I'm telling you, he's probably the only guy I did, but I've heard, you know, I've seen other guys do the drinking smoking thing, but he's the only guy to play with who couldn't stop doing it.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I got to ask, who's the one guy that made the most out of his ability that, you know, wasn't that great gifted, but was it turned into a stud? And then who's the guy on the
probably
other?
Dan Marley.
Yeah?
Dan Marley made himself a terrific, great player. You know, Dan Marley. And what was your second question?
And then who was the biggest waste? Who's the guy? Maybe some like a Dumas, God-given talent, and just kind of let it.
Well, I don't think I ever played with a guy who had more talent than Richard Dumas.
Wow,
that guy was unbelievable.
He was smooth.
That guy could jump over this building.
Yeah, you know, the smartest guy I ever saw play out there, though, against you was Sean Kemp. That guy was smart, wasn't he?
No.
Hey, the fact that you could step away and get a traveling call on him like every 5 minutes.
As a matter of fact,
did you invent that move? Will you back up
away? Rick Mahorn taught me that.
Because every time I see somebody do that, I go, that was
hilarious.
It's the best.
Hilarious. No. But that Kemp would fall for it every time.
I know.
That guy, and just look like, oh.
I don't go together. Yeah, but smart.
He
could learn that and condoms. Those were two things.
Wow.
He would have been set, wouldn't he?
Wow.
Okay, we're wrapping it up. Charles, thanks for being here, man.
No problem,
In the house. You're the man, as always.
Thank
Mark Cordes, Gary Dozer.
Kisses later, baby.
Uh-oh. Okay, watch that. Okay, Steve, we're wrapped.
That works for me.